Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Alistair? No.
Jeremy.
Ross Ferguson. I'm calling him Alistair because
we're confused.
Well, some people, they compare you to Alistair because you're Scottish and you have the Alistair Begg accent. But I'm assuming
who's the Jeremy?
I don't know. So we got some reviews. I'm going to read some of the reviews.
Yeah.
This one, I'm not going to be too picky about it because it's 5 stars from GFox337. GFox337 says, top-notch podcast. This is easily one of the best podcasts out there today. It's helpful for pastors, lay leaders, and church members. Jeremy and Alistair are just the best. And I know that means you, but I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
Why am I Jeremy? My brother's name is Jeremy. I don't know if GFox knows that. They're easy to listen to and prioritize the gospel in their evaluation and understanding of all issues and encouraging their listeners. Great interaction, helpful conversations, careful biblical conclusions. They're careful in distinguishing between biblically informed personal conjecture, opinion, experience, and what is clear and obvious from Scripture. Keep up the great work, J-Dub and the Notorious FRG. You guys are great. We got two nicknames.
Yeah. And can I just say, that is a well-worded description there. Biblically informed personal conjecture.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you've put some thought into that.
That's what we try to do. We try to separate.
That's what we say to people.
Hey, this is just our opinion, hopefully guided by the Bible versus this is what the Bible says.
Yeah. When people ask me, what's it like being on the For the Church podcast? Well, I can tell you, Jared and I aim to be biblically informed in our personal conjecture.
That's good. Thank you, GFox337. This comes from Tally asterisks in a line. We'll just say Tally. Tally says, fave podcast. Whoa, fave podcast. 5 stars. Tally says, I feel like most of the people that review this podcast are middle-aged men. And she's probably right. She says, I'm an 18-year-old girl, and I love this podcast. Look at that. We're big with the kids. Jared is so hilarious, and Ferg just feeds off of that. Ferg, okay. Make it even funnier. Also, I believe Ross should go by Ferg permanently now. To that one guy that reviewed and called Ross Fergalicious, you are a genius. Seriously, though, this podcast is great for all kinds, for people of all ages and backgrounds. Jared and Ross really focus on the gospel, which is the centrality of the word, and they do it in a way that is super easy to understand while also providing depth to my thinking. I went to a youth conference once that Jared was speaking at. Oh, God, we got a little story time here. And he entertained the kids very well and helped them to understand his sermons in a way that was easy for them while still being theologically sound and rich. Thank you, Tally. Maybe this will get me some more youth conference gigs. She adds, I've also read a couple of Jared's books. I got to say, don't sleep on them. Wow, look at this. Oh, she's going to be my publicist, I think.
Yeah.
They're so good. His humor is great. Love me anyway. Provided me with down-to-earth theology of 1 Corinthians 13 that could easily be applied to my life. Jared and Ross, your podcast is amazing. Don't quit your day jobs. I think she means that in a good way.
Yeah, I was about to say we can't quit our day jobs because this doesn't really bring the income in.
Well, that's true. That's right. Yeah. But maybe with Tally's help, the income will start coming in. You know, I will say, and I won't name the person, but I got an inquiry not too long ago. They said, do you take corporate sponsorship for the podcast? Of course, we don't. They don't run ads on here except for their own ads.
Yes.
We run them for them. And so I was sad to say, no, we actually don't. And this is really a Midwestern comms sort of, product, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought, I wonder if we could have just taken under the table some money and then like in the podcast said, hey, if you need X, Y, and Z, you should go to this guy. He's a Christian guy. It's not a Christian product. It's a different kind of product.
But I mean, I'm up for it.
We could do that. And you know how we could do that, Ross? Because nobody in charge listens to this podcast.
And if they do listen to it, you'll suddenly see them kind of running along the corridor.
They do not listen. Now, word could get out that we're talking about them, and then they might start paying attention.
So if everyone's listening, could you just keep it to yourselves that this is what's going to happen in the next
couple
of weeks?
If you start hearing some sponsorships on here, just know that we're the only ones who know. Money's under the table. All right, this comes from Chris2425. Chris2425. I don't know what the title of the review is. It's cut off, but 5 stars. He says, the intro music sounds like dad rock, but the actual substance of the podcast is stellar. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll take that. Well, you know, we are a couple of dads. Guess dad rock's okay. This comes from Grass Cutter 2020. Grass Cutter 2020 says, go and freeload no more. 5 stars, longtime listener, first time caller. Oh, I mean podcast reviewer. After months and months of guilt tripping, I felt like I should leave a review, but I always found an excuse not to. It wasn't until a recent episode when Jared and Ross talked about grass cutting for 5 to 10 minutes. I don't think it was quite that long. It wasn't a while that I thought I would finally leave a review. You might find that strange, but it connects to an idea discussed on an earlier episode of whether or not podcasts should have banter. Mm-hmm. In the For the Church podcast, banter, movies, grass cutting, serious theological issues all mixed together. I listen to different podcasts for different reasons. Some of those I listen to are just straight facts, no banter. But in this one, there is the perfect blend of gospel-centered content, gentle pushback between friendly hosts, and relatable straight talk. Thankful for both of you men. No longer a freeloader, Grass Cutter 2020.
We should get him like a cap or something that says no longer a freeloader or something.
No longer a freeloader, yeah. This comes from, I'm assuming it means Psalm 16:5. Psalm 16:5 says, 5 stars after listening to the last podcast, episode 266, I think, I was guilted into writing this review. Seriously, though, this is a great podcast. Even if you're not a pastor or leader in the church, the topics are timely, the discussion's lively, and the hosts are so genuine. Take a listen. Thank you, Psalm 16.
I love the fact that our topics are timely in that we don't do hot takes, we only do cold takes.
Cold takes, so it's
entirely in God's hand as to when these are released.
That's true. CTC Pastor says, real and really reality, whatever that means. 5 stars. I've listened to this podcast for several years. I've been continually blessed by the conversations that take place. There is a genuineness that is refreshing and fun to listen to. What sets this podcast apart from some of the other practical-based podcasts is that the topics and the hosts are real. That's right. We are not AI.
We are not bots.
We're not virtual anything. We are real flesh and blood people. They touch on what is really my daily reality as a pastor church planter of 13 years. There is no sense that they are trying to sell themselves or something else, even though we just talked about taking some money under the table, trying to sell themselves or something else, but to simply help the church get better at exalting Christ. Mm. You two are the reason I encouraged my middle daughter to attend Midwestern Seminary instead of the seminary I graduated from. Ooh,
he actually says attended Midwestern Seminary online. Hey, brother, I want to encourage you. The FTC podcasts are giving away your first year for free here at Midwestern.
Yeah.
Send her to on campus, and then she could even see the booth that we record in.
I want to know what seminary he graduated from that he said to his daughter, don't go to that
don't
one.
Don't go there. Go to where Jared and Ross are.
Ouch. I would love to know. You know what I just heard the other day? I don't know. Are you on Instagram? You're on.
I am.
You have an account, but do you do any much there? Which is fine. I'm not saying you should, but do you?
I have an account. I spend less time on it than the memes you share.
Oh, okay. This is where I'm going. Yeah. So I just didn't know if you knew or not, really. But like, so I post a lot of like memes on
Instagram.
Nowhere else. I just use Instagram for like memes, and then maybe if I'm like traveling or something. But and I hear about this all the time. I was just in California. Some guys come up to me, love your Instagram. I was just in Houston. Someone, I love your Instagram. I hear it everywhere I go. But I just heard for the first time, got an email from the admissions office here.
Yeah.
They said, here's a first. We just had a student enroll at Midwestern Seminary because of your memes on Instagram. And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, this person had never even heard of Midwestern. And they were looking at other schools, and then someone said to them, not about school, they just said, there's this really funny Instagram account. It's a pastor, and he posts memes, and they recommended the Instagram account. And so she started following me and then discovered I'm a professor at Midwestern Seminary. So her first exposure to the seminary was my Instagram account that she followed because of these dumb memes. And she's checked out the seminary. She enrolled.
Yeah.
The memes, like, they're a funnel. They're admissions funnel for people to come here. So it's a valid meme-istry.
There's... How long have you been waiting to say that?
I'm trying to work into the conversation a lot.
I mean, there's worse ways to choose your seminary. I mean, having said this, though, we need to remember that it is actually real people pastors are real people. Professors are real people. We like to laugh. I don't know why I put myself in the professor bracket, but we like to laugh. We like to share. You're just going to, I feel like this though is a secret shameless plug for you to have more Instagram followers.
Well, I'm just going to keep going. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You should follow me on Instagram. I didn't even think about that, but thank you, Ross. Yeah, this is a great opportunity.
I'm also on Instagram. You can follow me. I'm not as fun and exciting as you are.
You can find me at Jared C. Wilson on Instagram. What are you?
You can find me on all the comments on Jared's on Jared's memes.
I don't think you comment on mine. Otherwise, I would have known you had an Instagram account.
I like them occasionally.
Okay. All right.
Occasionally.
Well, thank you. Today's episode is how to go to church.
Car.
You get in your car
and drive.
And drive wherever.
Are we really going to have a whole episode worth of material on this?
Maybe. We've got 10 minutes out of banter here, so we don't need that much more.
They've
material.
All stopped listening now. We can get to the serious
how
point.
To go to church. Okay, so this is what I was thinking with this idea is how should we prepare ourselves for Sunday morning? So everything from disposition to practicality, logistics, et cetera, attitudes, interests, engagement. We had a previous episode where we talked about Congregation Hall of Fame, right? The kinds of folks that we just, man, it's just overjoyed to have these kinds of people in our church. Well, those kinds of people, I guess it's natural for some of them to kind of do that. They're not trying to do that. But for some of them, like the way they are, encouraging, reliable, steady, cheerful, nodding and smiling during the sermon rather than sleeping, et cetera, means that they've done some things to arrange their life in such a way that Sunday morning means something. They have an attitude about it that's different than if they were acting a different way. So I thought we could just talk about that for a little bit, right? What are some things we can do to prepare ourselves for church on Sunday morning?
I've split this into practical, attitude, and spiritual.
Okay.
So three different.
All right. We'll follow your outline.
So
that's good.
If we go with practical.
I barely have an outline, so we'll follow yours.
Jared just does Instagram memes. He doesn't actually do anything.
I've got a paragraph here, but it's not really an outline.
Okay, so. If we go practical, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this phrase because it actually really bugs me when I see it, but the sentiment behind the phrase
I know what you're about to say.
That going to church on Sunday is a Saturday night decision.
You know who says that a lot? I don't know if it's original to him, but it's become his trademark is Dean and Sarah, our brother Dean and Sarah. He's a Midwestern Seminary alum, I believe.
Yeah. The reason it bugs me is it's not just a Saturday night decision. Mm. So here is the practical thing on that. I'm married. I've got three kids. Leaving for anything in our household is difficult, okay? So being prepared. So here's just a few thoughts. On the Saturday night, I'd be thinking about I'm going to be going to church. How am I going to get there? If I'm driving, does my car have fuel in it? Is it actually there? And I'm speaking here to myself. The amount of times on Sunday morning I've turned that ignition and thought, oh dear. But know your travel plans. If you take the train or bus, know if there's any cancellations. Second, know how long it takes to go from your house to the church. If it takes 20 minutes, don't leave when there's only 15 minutes left. Yeah. Leave earlier.
Don't even leave when there's 20 minutes left or you're walking in right.
Yeah, 30 minutes. So practically know how you're going to go there. Know what time you need to leave to be there on time because the attitude is you want to actually be at church on time. I go even further. I know what clothes I'm going to wear the next day. And so I'm going to iron those clothes if I want to iron them. I usually try and get my kids to think about what they're going to wear the next day. I personally love the visual of actually putting my Bible on the table ready to go to church. So I do that on the Saturday night. Because I'm preaching, I'll often have my sermon notes ready. I'll put my glasses. I'll have everything ready. Now,
if you have clothes that need to be ironed, iron them the night before.
If you need to shave your beard, But what we're saying is just like getting it ready so that in the morning, you're not rushing around. You're actually kind of going, okay, it's church time. And you're beginning to just put into action all the things you've been preparing for. And that leads to then a better attitude at church. You're not running late. You have your coffee in hand. You've got your Bible with you. You haven't forgotten these things. You're not wearing clothes that you just pulled out of the cupboard and you're kind of like, what am I wearing? Like you're just prepared. Now, what I'm not saying is you have to be a certain way to go to church. What I am saying is that you can practically help yourself to get to church on time. Now, in our household, the biggest thing we need to do is to have all the shoes at the front door because my kids just can never find them. Now, for you, it might be something different. It could be as something as simple as you need to put your Bible near the front door. Like that physical thing is there ready for you to use. So from a practical thing, I can't believe I agree with it, but it starts the night before or early that morning. Like if you get home late or whatever, like setting the alarm, all those things.
Yes.
Practically going to church, there's a lot going on before you actually get to church.
If you discover that you are reliably late, like this is
and
just
people will tell you,
and
if
this
you
is
are.
Just who you are. Like you are reliably late. There are things that you really ought to look at intentionally. Do you stay up too late?
Yes.
Do you, are you, you know, watching Netflix way too late? You know, can you go to a bed an hour earlier than you normally do?
Yeah.
Can you set your alarm 30 minutes earlier if that's what you need? I know it takes me a while to kind of wake up. It takes me about 20 to 30 minutes to quote unquote get ready.
Yeah.
I usually set my alarm an hour or more before I need to leave the house because it takes me 30 or so minutes to become awake enough to get ready. And I know that. So I'm not set. If I got to leave at 8, I'm not setting my alarm at 7:40 because I'm using up that time to wake up.
Yeah.
So I know this about myself. So I'm setting my alarm earlier and earlier just to give myself time. Let me posit a scenario to you.
Okay.
This is at my church in Vermont. We had a fellow who his family was late every single Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He was constantly frustrated by this because he said, I'm always ready. It's my wife and daughter. They are never ready. He goes, I wake them up earlier. I said, he's doing all these things.
Yeah.
He says, I'm feeling like this is a kind of disobedience that is disrespectful. And he says, it's reflecting on me. And he finally started saying, if you're not ready at this time, I'm going to leave you.
Yeah.
And eventually he followed through.
Yeah.
And so his wife and daughter are getting ready for church. And the time comes when he said, I'm going to leave. And he left.
Yeah.
And he came to church. And they were very, very angry with him. And I didn't know whether to say, I admire you or that was really dumb. What do you think about that? Like, is that a tough love approach?
I don't know whether I should say I admire you or that.
Should he bring them late or not at all? You know, not at all.
Honestly, I think that's leadership. I think you're saying like we're going to church.
Yeah.
And if you're that angry at me that I left you, then why don't you just get up earlier?
Yeah.
Like if you're that.
Why didn't you put that energy into
just getting up earlier?
Yeah, before I had to threaten the thing, yeah.
So these practical things, there's loads. I mean, there's loads that you could list, you know, on those sort of things. If you're somebody like me, you have your phone, all your work emails come to the phone, is silencing them on the Saturday night so that you're not waking up in the morning to a bunch of work emails. There's just so many things you can do. But this moves into, to some extent, the attitude. And that is the attitude of we go to church.
Yeah.
And that attitude is not legalistic. It's not like I must go to church. It is not the attitude of like airy fairy life is nice. I go to church because that's lovely. It's I go to church because I'm a believer in Christ, because I have fellowshipped with this church, that they have affirmed my faith in Christ and I affirm their faith in Christ. And we celebrate and glorify our risen Lord Jesus Christ. I go to church. For me, that attitude is a weekly thing, whether I am in town or not. So this is where I think you can test this attitude a little bit.
I see.
When we go on vacation, we always go to church.
You go to a church.
Whatever church is local, I'll look it up. I'll talk to the kids. Hey, we've got two or three churches. This one looks good. Let's go to that and let's see what it's like. And we will, again, be prepared. We're looking at travel times. We're, you know, all those things. But the attitude in our household is one of we're going to church and there's no ifs, there's no buts. That's what we do. No one's kicking and screaming. No one's miserable. Are there some Sundays we leave kind of really tired and exhausted? Absolutely. Are there some mornings my wife and I have had some grumpy words with each other before we leave? Yes. Is there some mornings where my kids have had to have a severe telling off before we leave the house? Yes. But we go to church because we believe it is important. And that attitude needs to also be kind of tempered with not having a legalistic approach. If there is a Sunday where genuinely you're feeling ill, it's okay not to go to church. Like you can't stand, like you're getting to the door and thinking, I shouldn't drive today. It's okay to go back to bed. It's okay to allow sickness to run itself through your body and go to church the following week. I think this attitude that I'm speaking of really needs challenge in a season where you can watch church online. You can watch a service, you can consume it. And so here's where I'm going to kind of turn that screw a little bit more. The attitude of going to church needs to also be an attitude of I take part. I am part of the church family. I'm not a consumer of church. I don't wake up on Sunday morning so I can consume church. I wake up so I can go to church and take part with my fellow body of believers in worshiping Christ. And I have found in our home that attitude of taking part, being an element of the church wherever we are, has been a wonderful blessing for our family. We've visited so many different churches, and churches have then sent us letters and encouraged us with our studies or our ministry or whatever. And it's just reminding ourselves, this is what we do. And I could count on probably less than the fingers on both my hands how many times we've missed church as a family. And when we have, it's been because of sickness. It's been because one of the kids have been sick or I've been sick or something like that. And that attitude feeds into all the practicalities, because you know you're going to church. You know if you're out till 2 a.m, hey, I'm going to church, so I got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it feeds into it. I think it's just as simple as saying to yourself, I'm going to church.
Yeah, when it's the priority, when your life revolves around the family of God, this isn't just like a thing you may or may not do, or a thing if you're feeling it or not, or even just how you go. So, you know, it may be not a question about whether you're going to go or not. You're going to go. But if you're just kind of lackadaisical, even about like, well, I pop in, pop out. When I get there, I get there. I'm going to stop for coffee. I mean, that's another thing. Like, I subtract, like, if I'm going to get a coffee on the way, I subtract 10, 15 minutes from what I know because I don't want to be walking in late. Yeah. I don't want to be, you know, and
that
I have to be there early anyway.
That guy walks in with these coffees saying, like, I know I'm late, but I had to get the coffee.
Well, here's one reason why, and this is like in the last few months or so, John Piper said something about, I think publicly, about not having coffee in church, and it became a big deal online for like a day or so, and then they moved on to the next outrage. But and I totally get like the why, and, you know, hugely respect Dr. Piper, but I'm a fan of coffee in church. I usually have a coffee in church.
Yeah.
But one reason why I like it is because sometimes people are very tired.
Yes.
And what keeps them awake is not just the caffeine, but the activity
of drinking.
Having the drink. Yep. And I'd rather them have that and be awake in church than not, you know.
I'm all up for having iron brew or Coke at church.
But if you're going to stop for a coffee, figure out how long will it take to do that? Does the whole family need coffees? Is it just one of you, et cetera? Yeah. Subtract that 10 minutes from your drive time. Like, you've got a plan to be punctual. You got a plan to be there. Now, let's move into your
spiritual.
You already did.
That was attitude.
Well, can I add to the attitude?
You can add
I thought we were still there.
You can pay attention.
I'm thinking like a sense of expectation. I mean, this kind of overlaps with spiritual, but like, come to church with a sense of anticipation, not of critical evaluation. Yep. Don't come thinking I'm gonna notice all the things that are wrong. We are gonna notice, you know, some of those things. But come with a spirit of like, oh, what's the Lord gonna do today? Mm-hmm. What am I gonna learn today? Yeah. What am I gonna see today? Who am I gonna see today? All those sorts of things. Come with that attitude. You know, this is another cliched statement. I don't know who it's original to, but essentially, mature people are easily edified.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a maturing Christian, you're expecting to be edified, and it doesn't take much. You just love to hear the Bible preached. You love to sing Christian songs with Christian brothers and sisters, and just the experience of being there. It's like, oh, this is so cool that we actually get to be here. I love this about Liberty Baptist Church, and it's unique, and I don't know if our people even know this. When I travel around, and you do as well, you go to churches, and I know I've ranted on this podcast before about this, but it drives me nuts when they're in song number two, and, you know, I'm usually a guest speaker or somebody, the guy turns to me, and there's like no one in the sanctuary, and the guy turns and goes, don't worry, they're here by the sermon, or they're usually by song three.
Oh, my word.
And like, I'm like, well, is that when church begins? Is song three, or does it begin? And our people, man, like, not
they're
only
there.
Is it full before the call to worship, we have one of those little countdowns on the screen, like a lot of churches do. When the countdown gets down to like 20, there's music playing and there's like 20 seconds left. Everyone quiets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you got 20 seconds left. Keep talking or whatever you're doing. They get quiet. It's like there's a sense of expectation.
Prepared.
Yeah. This is about to happen and we're ready. Like, we'll let the 10 seconds go by, you know, in quiet because this is why we're here. And it's so encouraging every week when that happens.
I fully agree. There was a Pulpit Supply did, and they said, oh, we're a church that struggles to start on time, but we kind of leave it another 10 minutes and then we'll get going. I'm just, again, just even leading from that attitude off.
You're training people to accept that.
It's cool to be late. Don't worry about that. Miriam and I visited a church in Scotland and we arrived on time. We were 5 minutes early. Went in, no one's there. Service started 25 minutes after its normal start time. And I asked the individual afterward, and I went, yeah, just people just never come, so we just start later. And you just think, again, the attitude is no need to prepare. We'll just turn up. The interim pastor I'm doing right now, actually, that's something we're working on is trying to, when that countdown, when that time hits, our service is at 10:15, when that time hits, like we're starting. So stop talking because we want to focus our attention on our Lord.
Okay, spiritual.
So move into spiritual. Yeah. So I'm going to say a phrase and then a caveat a little bit.
All right.
Come as you are. You don't have to feel it that week. You don't have to have had a good week. You can be in the depths, in the mire of your sin, of your doubts, of your frustrations. You can be just like a question we had recently on the mailbag, just not feeling like you're actually living it, that it's actually meaning something to you. Come as you are. Like Christ welcomes with open arms. You don't need to do anything. You don't have to spiritually be right to be there. Just being there, come as you are. I'm going to caveat that though with there are things that you can do to help as you come to church. And that is prayerfully considering what you're about to do. You're about to walk into a room with your fellow believers, some that you might hold something against that you need to seek repentance over or forgiveness over. Some you're going to see that you know are broken, that need to be encouraged. You yourself have just spent 6 days in the world and you're feeling beat up and kind of rotten and you need to come before the Lord and you need to bow before him and almost crumble, allowing yourself to crumble. So praying into that as you arrive, maybe reading over the preaching passage in your morning devotions before you come to church with that kind of anticipation of allowing God's word to slowly sink into you. Maybe even messaging some friends at church, hey, really looking forward to seeing you. Can I sit with you this week? You know, just beginning to prepare your heart to enter into that presence. Because I always think Lehman's really good at this when he explains the body of believers is an embassy. Mm-hmm. And we're representing the kingdom. Well, if it's an embassy, then it will feel like the kingdom. It will be as if we are in the kingdom.
In the kingdom, yeah.
So what would you be like as if you were in front of Christ? And it's preparing your hearts and your minds into that. So there is a sense of come exactly how you feel, come exactly where you are, yet there are things that you can do to slowly prepare your heart going into it. And I have found that some of the best moments of me being under preaching, my best moments off preaching, my best moments of just being part of the church family have been the Sundays where I felt absolutely rotten. And I went to church anyway. And Alistair Begg's mentioned this before. Like when you come to church, the question is not, how are you doing? How's your week? The question is, do you know the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. That's where we've got to start. If you've been somebody that's been lax on your attendance, you've been a bit wishy-washy, you've watched online, you haven't really attended, been on vacation for a few weeks, feeling stressed and tired from work and just could do with a Sunday morning off, go anyway, go as you are and pray that the Lord would do something in your heart and your mind and transform you, renew you. For me, just a purely personal thing that I do, I always read the preaching passage, if I'm aware of it, before I go into the service. It's like my personal preparation of, I've read the passage, now the guy that's preaching, show me Jesus here because I'm ready. I've got the passage ready.
That's good. Yeah, I think it's extending, I just wrote down the word gracious. So even taking that come as you are aspect, including your caveat, not just about ourselves, but to go in like, I'm not expecting anyone here to perform for me.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting anyone here, not the people on stage, but, mm-hmm. Including the people that I'm just meeting, that I'm sitting in the pews with. They don't have to look a certain way for me.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to behave a certain way for me. to, you know, to love them and, mm-hmm. And want to be their brother or sister, that I'm letting them come as they are.
Yeah.
And so if they're sad, I'm not put out by that. I'm not going to, you know, act inconvenienced mm-hmm. or, you know, irritated by that. If they've had a rough week or a rough month or a rough year or a rough life, I'm not thinking, you know what, just put a happy smile on because it makes me more comfortable than being around people who are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, if they've got questions, if they're struggling with doubt, whatever it is, I'm not there thinking you're all here to revolve around my experience, mm-hmm. but we're here to serve each other and to build up each other and to encourage each other. And so, yeah, extend that come as you are-ness to others. Mm-hmm. I've often, you know, said, I used to say to my small group all the time, I wish, you know, sometimes I could just wear a t-shirt that just said, I'm cool with everybody. I'm cool with all of you.
Yeah.
So that you would know, because I have that negative resting face, people are like, what's Jared, you know, angry about? And literally nothing. I really love our church. And even if I'm standing in the corner confused or just, you know, off in space, it may look like I'm upset about something. And I promise you 99.9 times out of 10, I am not. I'm usually just, you know, thinking or spacing out. You have to wrong me personally for me to have an issue with you. And I just love the, you know, folks that they approach church that way. Mm-hmm. It's just like, man, like what a blast it is to be here with the people of God. What might God do with us? Yeah. And how cool it is that we have the freedom where we live even to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And just that sense of graciousness about the experience and the mm-hmm. graciousness with each other that, you know, you're not here to measure up for me. You know, you're here in some way as an opportunity for me to serve and to love as well.
The reality is this is not always going to work out every Sunday. Like every Sunday you're going to not be prepared. So there's going to be weeks where you don't feel like it. Your attitude's rotten. You haven't prepared. You drag yourself there. You drag yourself home and it doesn't click. And one of the things I would say on that is go back next week. Do you know, it's kind of just one of those things of every Sunday's not going to hit the same. But the consistent faithfulness over time, what you will find is just the faithfulness in attending slowly but surely helps.
Yeah.
It just helps have fewer and fewer of those weird weeks where it just doesn't feel right. And also, just last thing I note down, consider the church timings as well. So we went to a large church in London when Miriam and I lived in London. They had like a 9, 11, 4, and a 7 o'clock service.
Wow.
And they were all different. So one was for families, one was for a South African population, one was for a Korean population, one was for young professionals. And when we were in our early 20s, we went to the young professional services. It was 7 o'clock at night. That was not good for us because we just lazed around in bed. We watched TV. Oh, 6:30, right, we better go to church. We didn't really feel like it. Mm. And so one of the things I would say is if your church is morning and evening or even has multiple services, and we've spoken before about our preference is always for one service, consider what might be a good thing to go to as a family. And it might be the case that you need to really think about your situation and what service time you're going to if your church is a multi-service kind of situation.
Good deal. All right. Well, that's a pretty good episode. We got some mileage out of that.
Well, I was about to say, you look at the time and you go, yeah, but subtract 10 minutes of banter off that.
it's actually
a short podcast with a lot of banter.
Two-thirds meat, one-third fat. It's not a bad ribeye, I don't think. Yeah,
fair enough.
Some good marbling in this podcast episode. If you like the marbling of this episode or any episode, dear listener, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.
You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.